Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Tuesday night open call. Mr. Jesse, Terry, how are you tonight?
How are you?
Just fine.
I'm not too bad.
You doing good, David?
Yeah. I'm still alive and kicking. They haven't killed me off yet.
Yeah, you gave me some good laughs this morning when you sent me that, by the way. As busy as I was, I had to stop to read that. So, very interesting
stuff. What was it you sent?
The stuff that you and I talked about last night.
Oh, the stuff I stumbled you into last night.
Yeah.
Yes.
Was that
pretty funny,
Jesse?
Stuff. Oh, geez. Forget about it. It's stupid.
Yeah. Am I good for my case or what?
Yeah. Well, I'd like to know what the results were. If it's still ongoing, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, it's still ongoing. Yeah, I'll keep you apprised. But just the fact that we got that much information and all that, it's I'm good to go. So yeah, it's going to be a wonderful thing. And
surely ain't going to hurt.
No, it isn't. Good evening, Larry. How are you?
Hey, Dave. I'm good.
Good. Oh, yeah. I sent you a copy of that also. Did you see that? We're not identifying what it is.
And, Larry, you got to stop writing documents that get attributed to me.
Wait, what did I do?
We can't go into it. It's a joke. You give me a call tomorrow, I'll tell you.
Okay. Wait, should I be looking at my email right now?
No, but you can give me a call. You will get a chuckle out of it. I just don't want to talk about it on the call.
I'm always up for a little chuckle.
You will.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Well, I sent you some stuff that you'll thoroughly enjoy.
Who are you talking to?
So.
Oh, to Larry, yeah.
Yeah, the same stuff that Jesse was mentioning. So anyway, yeah, sorry everybody, there's some information that we got. Yeah, there's some information we got that's extremely important to some people, and we can't divulge it publicly right now. Eventually we'll have plenty of conversation about it, but now definitely is not the time for it. So anyway, good evening, Sir John. How are you tonight?
I'm good. Am I unmuted?
No.
Yes, sir.
It's your imagination that we're able to hear you.
Okay. All right. Well, I thought you saw me on the board.
Let's see how long it takes him.
I'm doing good. I have a little hangover, but I'm all right.
You had a wild time last night, huh?
It was good. They just kept pouring drinks, so.
Oh,
and
you
just
had a good
kept
time.
Knocking them back, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
exactly.
Who are you to refuse, right? Well, anyway.
Free.
Yeah. Anyway, everybody, this is, of course, the first open call for the last month of the year. We're going to be winding down here. Jesse has not told us exactly what the schedule is going to be as we get into the holidays. So whether there's, what dates we're going to have calls or not. Well, we'll make
that.
The announcements, but I'm just saying that we haven't gotten the official word yet on exactly what's going to be happening around Christmas and New Year's as far as calls go. So that will be put out probably next week so that everybody knows. And, without a doubt, there'll probably be a call or two that will not happen because of the holidays. I don't know. We'll see that. But anyway, before we go any further, we have to get the patent pending disclaimer done by Mr. Jesse. So we're going to let him do that and get that out of the way so none of us gets in trouble.
You got it. I don't want anybody to get in trouble. Good evening, everybody. Mm-hmm. Thank you for joining us. Of course, if you've come here for legal advice, you must hang up the phone and leave because there's none here. We don't intend on giving you legal advice, and we surely don't even know what it is, but at the end of the day, guys, if you want legal advice, absolutely, 100%, go seek out the advice of an attorney. We absolutely recommend you do that. That's going to be your best bet for that. So with that being said, David, I haven't even thought about the holiday schedule. We have to talk about upcoming next year, so we got to put a call for that together. If you guys want sometime Thursday or something, we can do that in the morning or afternoon or whatever. But we got to get that done too. So.
I would prefer afternoon because of market stuff.
Yeah.
I have Haley after school after 3:30, by 3:30 on. So, you know, once I get her settled, when she gets off the bus and I'm not interrupted, but then I'm
safe. So if you want to do it, you guys want to do it Thursday? John, how do you look?
Yeah, you know, I'll make myself available because we need to get that done.
Yeah.
I will say this year, because of the dates that Christmas and New Year's is falling on, it will not interfere with my call. So, you know, in the past, if Christmas or New Year's or Christmas Eve landed on my call, I didn't have my call because we do ours on Christmas Eve. But this year, that's not going to interfere, so there will be no disruption of Terry's call.
Good. Okay, so let's finish one thing at a time, Terry. You already jumped ahead of us. Thursday, what time you want to do it? 2 o'clock?
Eastern.
Yeah,
well,
I'm
in
Florida,
that's
so
perfect.
Eastern.
That'll work. Well, yeah, right. Leave me out. You guys are on the FaceTime. I'm on the real Central time.
You're outnumbered there, David. You're
David,
you said afternoon,
and 1 o'clock is afternoon.
Yeah, 1 o'clock my time, 2 o'clock Eastern. So, all right. Just send a reminder.
We're good. And I record it, so we're good. If Larry, if you're
Did
working.
Did Larry say he has a meeting?
There,
yeah, I have a mediation at 1:30.
Yeah, I know. So I said Larry's working. Well, it'll be recorded, so you'll have it, Larry. No big deal.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that, we got to get it done. We just got to get it done. Next week I'll be traveling, so, and then the week after I'll be traveling. So it's done. I want to get this done so everybody's got the new schedule for the next year. So we're good. But, yeah, I don't see any interference at all with our calls, David, at all this year. So I think
no, the Christmas and New Year's are Sunday this
year.
Yeah.
There's nothing there, buddy.
So you know, if you
no
want to just continue on with the open calls, we can do that. You know, but
you
be the boss.
No problem. So,
okay.
With that being said,
well,
you get rocking and rolling, man.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, are there any of the moderators that have got any good news?
Not that I get to share.
I don't have anything.
You know, for me, it's so rare to start with, and then lately, every time I have some, I can't share it. No, there's just something wrong with that.
Oh, well. Yeah. Larry, you get any more money?
No, not yet. I mean, not lately.
But it's coming. Yeah, it's coming, though.
Well, nothing imminent.
Yeah, and Jesse... Jesse got a check, last week, I think you said that you had gotten a check. So,
yeah.
Yeah, that's always nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, it is a quieter time of the year, and things have been a little quieter all around the board. So, you know, it is what it is. So if anybody out there in listening land has any good news for us on anything, go ahead and hit the one key on the keypad in your phone. That'll put you in the queue. This is for good news only right now. If we don't get anybody that pops up pretty quick on that, then we'll just go ahead on into Q&A and see if we can answer some questions for people. And maybe we can touch on a few stupid lawyer moments that may come along. I sent
I've seen that.
A case out to Jesse and Terry this morning of stupid lawyer moments. All right, we're not having anybody for good news, so everybody with questions, now is the time. Hit the one key on the keypad in your phone. That'll put you in the queue. We'll try and answer your questions for you, and we'll take you in the order that you raise your hands. And we have somebody, I don't know whether they're on Skype or cell phone or what, but I'm going to unmute you right now. All I get is a bunch of ones on the board. You were just unmuted. You got a question for us?
Yes, this is the guy that called in last Tuesday with the company that altered their corporate trust name. And, yeah, I'm going to be seeing the attorney, the RICO attorney, this Friday in St. Louis about whether he takes the case or not. But in the meantime, I've met him before. He doesn't know quite a bit. Excuse me, he knows very little about fair credit, which doesn't surprise me. And one of the questions that he left with me is what sections were actionable. And here's the case, you know, they stuck in our credit reports, you know, a false entity. And every time that we disputed with them, they just evaded it. And, of course, I also told you that I did a direct dispute for a friend of mine who has the exact same situation, and they evaded that from the actual chief financial officer of the company. So we got that in writing. And anyway, to get to my question, I'm wanting to know if these sections are actionable under the Fair Credit Reporting Act and it can be sued. Are they Section 1681, S through 2C, S through 2D, S through 2B1E, S through 2B1D, and S through 2B2, 2B1?
Whoa, wait a minute. You're going way overboard there. Terry can address some of this stuff for you. She's the expert. Terry?
I said I got lost when he was rattling all that off.
Well, yeah, there was just, that's why I said something, because it was like, wait a minute. There isn't a private right of action on all of the stuff he was going over. I'm quite sure of that. So what, tell us and give us a description about what they did. First of all, did you found information that was incorrect in your credit report, right?
Yes.
Okay, and you disputed it to the credit reporting agencies, correct?
Yes.
And did they come back and say it was verified when, in fact, it was still incorrect?
Yes.
All right. Terry, you want to take it from there?
Okay. Excuse me. The furnisher responded with verified, and you know it was incorrect, correct?
Yep. Yes.
Okay. And you did just one dispute?
No, ma'am. I did actually 4 years of disputes with these folks.
Oh. Well, have you done an intent, you know, followed through the steps and sent them an intent to sue letter?
Well, I actually sued them. That's when some of this started to come out. And obviously, from what we can tell, they must have bribed this judge to make the case go away.
Oh, I don't understand that. What do you mean?
I had previously sued them, and they had actually said the false name was not false, and said that I had no ground to sue them.
What's that got to do with an S2B?
Well, that's what I want to know, because I don't know all the different.
Okay. Under the...
Well,
Terry,
he's new, so he's learning on this stuff, so take that into consideration as you're dealing with him here.
You need to understand, under the FCRA, first of all, it only has to do with credit reporting. No other issues. Okay, if something in a trade line that you see on your credit report is inaccurate or doesn't belong to you, whatever it is that's wrong, and you dispute and they fail to investigate, that is a violation. It can be nothing else. It can't have to do with names. if their name is a little different than it should be, like, for instance, Capital One NA, Capital One Bank, whatever that goes, you'll never make it fly. Or your name is wrong in there, or your address is wrong, or something like that. That's not going to be a violation. But the amount of a debt, the original creditor, the year it was opened, when it was closed, its status as open or closed, collection, all of those things are errors that do fall under S2B.
But they're material things that could affect your credit worthiness.
Right. You know, wrong names and things like that are not going to make any difference.
Yeah, well, hold on a minute. I'm not talking just a second. I got to put something in here. It's not a wrong name. It's a false name. It's a false credit, false entity put in there.
Well, first of all, what's the false entity? Is it a bank or a credit card company or a collection?
Yes.
A what?
Yes. And they had altered the name and they were caught.
So they had no right to be reporting in the first place.
Absolutely.
Well, then you should have also been setting up the credit reporting agency, because they're the ones that are allowing them to furnish information.
Yes, I learned that later, yes.
All right. Well, still, when it comes down to it, if they are not a legal entity, they can't be reporting in your credit report. And the information they're reporting can't be accurate because it can't exist, because they don't exist.
Correct.
Okay. So you do have an actionable violation of the S2B if any of those disputes and subsequent, I am assuming here that that information is still in your credit report.
Well, it was from the moment they stuck it in there till the end of the reporting of it was at the end of 2014. And, of course, the case was they tried to dissolve the case with a phony summary judgment on April of 2015.
Okay, now.
And they committed fraud, which is fraud on the court, and that's Rule 60D3, with the assistance of the judge.
Yeah, but you're probably not going to get anywhere with that, and that's not my area. So I'm just going to deal with this S2B thing.
Right.
All right. You said it. The CRAs finally took it off at the end of 2014?
Yes.
Okay, well, you only have S2B violations for 2 years from the date of discovery, all right? So when did you bring your suit?
It was in the middle of 2013.
Oh, all right. So you're good for the 23 months prior to that.
Okay,
but,
well, this kind of leads to another question. This was a false entity, false credit reporting, the whole nine yards. Didn't liability arise from the moment they stuck it in there and not from the date upon which I disputed with them?
No. Okay, no violation exists under S2B until you file a dispute and they respond back. And if that response is, you know, that is the violation. The response that's wrong, where they didn't investigate. So no violation existed under the S2B until you received the response back and found a false verify. Then they violated by not investigating.
Right.
Okay. But just the act of putting the stuff in your credit report does not fall under S2B.
Okay.
Okay, I got a question here. I want to clarify something. Given the time situations you've got here, you said you sued over this. You filed suit. Was
yes.
that in federal or state court?
Federal court.
It was in federal court. Okay. And did you file suit under S2B as
yes.
one of your claims?
Yes.
Okay. So you brought a claim under S2B, and you say that the case ended with them being granted the summary judgment in when was that?
That was the middle of 2014.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Well, then,
I'm sorry. The middle of 2015.
Okay.
April
well,
of 2015.
Right. Now, did you appeal that?
No, I did not.
Okay. Well, then you're sitting on a situation, from what I see, based on the facts that have been exposed here, you're res judicata and you can't go back on S2B.
Even
would you agree,
they,
Terry? Jesse?
Yes.
Yes, I would
yep.
agree.
Okay, but now
it's,
the case was done by use of false pretenses and fraud upon the court.
But if you had an issue, you had to appeal it to try and resolve that at that point in time. When you had the adverse ruling and you failed to appeal, then it becomes res judicata. You can't wait and then come back and say, oh, no, that was all wrong. You have to file a notice of appeal, appealing it to the circuit court for your district within 30 days of the entry of that judgment. And then you have to appeal it to the circuit court. If you do not do that, it becomes res judicata or it's done. And you cannot.
Well, except
go back.
He still has claims for any violations after the filing of the original complaint.
Well, but Larry, the problem with that is it's over 2 years ago. So if he had that information then, he's past statute on that. Correct?
Well, if he's been filing or if he's been sending dispute letters since then every time that they misreport, even if he didn't send dispute letters, it's a violation. Terry's
well,
already confirmed
well, yeah,
that.
Here, yeah, here again, sorting, we'd have to sort out exactly when they were in there, when he did disputes, and when the stuff disappeared to find out if that stuff's within. But what I'm referring to in the statute of limitations is the statute on the FCRA is you have to file suit within 2 years of the discovery of the violation. The violation can occur in the last 5 years, but you have to file suit within 2 years of becoming aware of it.
All
so,
I'm saying is that there's certainly new violation since he filed the original complaint in the last 2 years.
Well, yeah, that could be, but like I say, that may be because he said that a lot of this stuff happened late 14, so he's right at 2 years there. But
right.
Here
and
again,
guys,
without knowing the dates.
If those... That is under the restatement of torts, multiple violation rule for continuing violation. And if those continuing violations were subsequent to the original violation that created them and that was adjudicated, they would not be considered, it would be res judicata. There's no way he could go back on that S2B.
Yeah, if they're the same fact pattern, that's true.
Yeah.
However, yeah. And here's another idea. If they were to claim that and he could show that originally they committed fraud, at least for the purposes of this lawsuit, I wouldn't suggest, nor would I probably even attempt to go back to try to rectify the original loss based on a void judgment. But he could certainly make that point during a new lawsuit.
Well, I don't know all of what you're talking about, but you're trying to tell me that my entire FCRA case, even though they committed fraud from the beginning and even though the the lawyer was aided by the judge in defrauding the court, and void, and it's, even though I could void out the judgment, it still rests adjudicata?
Unless you void it out, yes.
Pardon me?
Unless you get it voided, yes, that is true.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That was the whole gist of what I called in the other evening, that if I can get the judgment voided, which I can, because they both, in a conspiracy, under Rule 60D3, defrauded the court, not me.
That's fine, but first you have to prove it, and second, you have to get before a judge who is actually going to agree
Listen.
With you. Agree with you in principle, but actually take the action to avoid that judgment.
Judges okay. taking actions against other judges is not as easy as you think.
Well,
we're not saying you shouldn't try if that's the route you want to go. Just don't expect it's going to be a slam dunk just because the facts are on your side. And that's the unfortunate reality.
That's a good way to put it, Larry.
All right, now, is Esther 2B, is that the only actionable section I can possibly sue them under?
Well, yeah, now, because it's all gone. Obviously, the CRAs took it off, probably because it reached the statute of limitations on the time it could be reported, since its charge-off date or default date. So the S2B is the only section that I can swear to under the FCRA that would equal a continuous violation. You guys agree with me?
As far as I know, yes.
Yeah.
Because everything else, you know, can fall under FDCPA, but that's only got a year statute of limitations on it, and it's from when it happened, not from when you found it. So that's long gone, too.
Right. Okay.
We're not sitting here trying to tell you can't do anything. We're trying to sort out the facts and see exactly what's there, whether you can or can't. I wish you had all sorts of open doors, but it doesn't look like you have much to me based on what
we've
discussed.
Well, the only one that I know I have is the void out the judgment.
Well, you can try and do that. That's not a sure thing by any means, especially in federal court. That's going to be a very uphill battle there.
Okay, so
big time.
Pardon me?
I said big time.
Okay,
the reason it's going to be a real uphill battle for you is because the courts are going to say, well, then you should have appealed it. And see
exactly
what
they're going to say. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, I didn't have all the facts in front of me at that time in terms of the issue of the frauded
mm-hmm.
name being an alteration of the original, and I was trying to get that. The judge stopped discovery in every way.
Yeah. Well, that would be one of the arguments you could bring up, you know, doing that in your motion to vacate void judgment. I mean, would be issues that you could make as arguments there. But, you know, please understand you're going to be having an uphill battle trying to do that. I'm not saying you can't. In fact, I sure as hell hope you can. Given
okay, well,
the
other issue was that I put a motion before the court for leave to amend. It was unopposed. That's where the conspiracy came in. She had to either oppose it and discuss the issue of that name, or the judge had to allow me permission for leave to amend to have that name removed, which is precisely what it was all about.
Well,
so that
here,
motion
here again.
Still sits there unopposed.
Yeah, well, here again, at this point in time, unless you can get that judgment vacated, it's res judicata. Now, if you can get the the judgment voided so that it goes back and that case is reopened so that you can pursue things that way. You know, if you're able to do that, great, fantastic. But, you know, the way you're sitting right now is it is res judicata. So your attack is going to have to be going back to vacate the judgment. Otherwise, you're dead.
Well, I realize that. Yeah, I already realized that.
Yeah.
Okay, and I've got all the stuff in there from the guy who's the pro at the Law of Voids and read it and have found cases that are identical to mine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so that's part of the reason why I joined was to get a lot more knowledge on how to vacate and get this thing voided out for the reasons we're discussing right now.
Yeah. Well, in one of the things that you absolutely have to do when you do a motion to vacate void judgment is along with your motion, which, of course, has to make your arguments, state the facts on which you're bringing your motion and why the court should vacate or void the judgment, you need to put an affidavit with it.
Okay.
Where you testify under oath to the specific facts that you're stating to base your arguments on.
Okay.
And that's something that some people fail to do when they do a motion to void judgment. If you don't put an affidavit with it, you're dead right there.
Yep. Well,
yep.
Okay. Yeah, that much I did know.
Okay.
So basically there's really only one section under fair credit that anybody could ever sue them under, and that's S through 2B.
No. No, but it appears that that's the only thing that you have that could be a possibility of being able to do. You already did it. If you can get that case reopened, then you look at it. Here again, what you got to understand is, you know, we've heard some things from you on the phone.
Right.
Without knowing far more information, detail-wise, being able to see documents and understand, you know, what happened in the court, what you said, what they did, how the court ruled, it's hard for us to say, oh, well, you know, you have a claim under this or a claim under that.
Right,
you've got way too many details out there.
Yeah, I understand that, guys. But, again, I got to go back to my motion for leave to amend. I wanted the name removed. And I wanted to add other issues in there under fair credit to sue them under. And it was unopposed, and the judge just cut off all discovery, like including a subpoena.
Well,
I mean, it was just like it was over with.
Yeah, well, I understand that you got short shrift by the judge, but it still goes back to the only way that you have any possibility of doing anything from the way we see things based on the information you've given us is you've got to go down that road of voiding the judgment. You got to do your motion to void the judgment.
Okay, well, I'll be working on that. In the meantime, I got a RICO attorney that's going to look at this and explain to him that you know, obviously have to void out this judgment. I've already discussed that with him. He felt like that was obviously the way to go, and he felt like because of what they had did was not a big problem. So whether he's been down that road before or not, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I hope that he is correct. I hope he's correct. And,
well, also,
the only
information I get is from, you know, Richard Carnforth, the guy where you got all this data shared on your website, and he's been on Rule of Law Radio, and he's one of the more influential guys on voiding out judgments.
Oh, we know who Richard Carnforth is, believe me.
Okay.
Yeah, Richard sat in my office for many, many days. Him and his wife, Marie, have been to my office in Florida talking over things, but... You know, the void judgment in theory is a fantastic. In practice, ask him how many he's actually had actually worked. See, that's, you know, everything sounds great. And it goes back. I've been listening to this whole conversation last week and this week. And I'm just going to tell you something and take this to you or with you to that attorney. The lady in the pretty red dress with the fancy lipstick and the big boobs and the long hair and the high heels might not be a lady at all under there. So just be careful of what you think you're seeing versus what actually is. And that's what we've all learned as moderators, all of us here, that sometimes, wow, this looks too good, and there's no way I'm going to lose, and you get your head thumped. And that's just the way it works. My wife literally had a $240,000 judgment against her by a firm who had a fake expired account to access credit reports. We found an admission, or we actually got them to admit that in discovery, had it in testimony, that they did not have an account with Equifax. We got in testimony, they seen, or they pulled 6,200 people's records last 2 years. 6,200. And they were ruled against. My wife was ruled against and stuck with the judgment. So unfortunately, I don't mean to offend anybody, it was the Jew crew. Every single judge from the assistant to the Judge Sharp all the way to Judge Black in the 11th were all Jewish. And guess what? The firm was all Jewish. So when we threatened a $32 million lawsuit that would have shut down their firm, all of a sudden we got blackballed. It happens. It's life. It's okay. So,
well, I have to disagree.
Listen,
it's not okay. It's a joke. It means,
yeah,
the law means nothing.
And that's okay. See, you have to understand that there's some battles you're going to win and some you're just not going to. That's the way it is. It's no different than getting pulled over by a cop when you're speeding. And it's at his discretion if he's going to give you a ticket or not.
You
the guy who got the
notes.
Ticket?
Some battles are not.
Bastard, right? That guy's a bastard. He gave me a ticket. The guy who didn't get the ticket says, man, that was the nicest cop in the world. You know, it's still the law, but you got to be realistic about things. So being realistic that I'm going to go ask a judge to rule against another judge is not realistic and very unlikely and improbable. So that's what I'm saying by don't let this disappointment get to you that much. It'll drive you nuts. Because I can ask Larry, I can ask Dave, I can, you know, Larry's been picked upon because he's a pro se litigant. Dave's been picked on because he's a pro se litigant. Terry's been beat to hell because she's a pro se litigant. I've been beat up and ruled against for $250,000 because I'm a pro se litigant. But when you flip that nickel over, I've made $350,000 because I'm a pro se litigant. I don't even want to say what Larry's made or Dave's made, none of my business. And I know what Terry's made because we are pro se litigants. So, okay, I got ruled against once. I understand. No big deal. It's part of the game. You protected everybody. All right, I got you. But I still got mine over here. And I understand that, and I'm okay with it. And that's what I mean. Don't let it bug you. I got ulcers over my wife's case, and so did my wife. I thought she was going to have a nervous breakdown. She couldn't believe what was happening. I said, honey, you just, you know. Everybody, all the moderators and my callers here understand what we've been through. It was a nightmare. You know, so – at the end of the day, man, all I'm telling you is don't get disappointed and aggravated. Don't let them get to you with what you can't get done. Just focus on what you can get done. 100%,
well,
not 99,
yeah,
not 98,
I hear 100. You. I hear you talking.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to talk now. I appreciate you telling me all this stuff, but if I have to, I just appeal it. Everybody's told me you win in the appeals court. Not at the trial court where most of these judges are just a bunch of shit bums.
Yeah, well, I went to appeals, the 11th Circuit, where Terry just won her appeal, and I got stomped in the head. So that ain't necessarily a guarantee either. So when I have the actual attorney confessing on the record that they do not have an account, when I have him confessing that they've pulled 6,200 credit reports in 2 years, and I still don't win, you know something's up. And it went to the appeals, and it still didn't matter. So don't put the eggs in that basket. And I think you're past your appeals time anyway on a lot of what you've discussed. Am I wrong there, Dave and Terry? You only have 30 days to appeal
correct.
Something.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the only thing you could be appeal would be your motion to vacate the void judgment. If you lost that, you could appeal that, but –
I can think of very few arguments on the basis of right, wrong, and principle that I would choose to take on unless I knew that I had at least a fair to equal chance of winning. Some battles,
That's
no
right.
matter how right you are not worth the risk when it's obvious of the outcome, because the only thing that's going to get satisfied is you personally, I tried, but what was the cost?
Yep.
Yeah, and we're not trying to dissuade you from going and doing your motion
by
to vacate
no
void judgment. Please understand,
right.
We'd love to see you do that and be successful. We're just not BSers. We're very realistic, and we're all litigators. So we're not talking something that, you know, stuff that we know nothing about or that we've read or something like that. We all litigate. We've been there with our feet to the fire.
Well, that's the reason why I signed up with you guys, because it was not like the previous guy that I was working with. It's totally different. But, I mean, all I can tell you is the facts of the situation and the case. And,
right.
you know, every case I've ever read under Rule 60D3, there's no room for error. This is not to be allowed. You can't defraud the court, in which they did, and those are always vacated, every case I've read.
Well,
yeah,
I hope you do it and you're
fashion.
Successful. Believe
yeah.
me, we'd
yeah.
love
yeah.
to... We'd love to see
yeah,
that happen.
Yeah, I'm not
me.
Talking about, you know, fraud against the parties. I'm talking about fraud on the court.
On
I'm talking
court.
About a whole
yeah,
other
we understand.
Animal.
Yeah,
okay.
we
no, no, we know exactly what fraud on the court is.
Okay.
And we also know that fraud on the court is sometimes allowed by the court, just so you know.
yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah.
We don't like it,
yeah,
but
like
it happens.
In our case. yeah, just like
well,
in our case.
Yep.
The judge allowed that, and that's okay. I understand, you know. We're all human. And that's part of it. You got to just understand. The law is only as good as the people trying to enforce it or backing it. And those same people are humans just like you are. And unfortunately, sometimes they don't do what they're supposed to do.
Well,
you know,
in this case, the judge helped her quite a bit and helped her perjuring mm-hmm. the record.
Oh, yes, we've seen that before. Believe me, that's nothing new to us.
Wow.
Yeah. Nothing you're going to tell me is going to shock me after what I've already been through.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing our moderators
yeah.
can possibly tell me are going to
shock
we me.
We understand how corrupt some of these judges and some of these situations are. Believe me, we do. There's a lot of good judges out there, but there are some that are really corrupt. You know, Jesse, obviously. His
well,
situation.
The other thing I was going to ask
he
is putting Cannon's complaint on this judge.
Putting what?
The what?
Cannon's complaint on this judge.
Cannon's complaint?
I have no idea
yes,
what you're talking about.
Violating their canon? The canon, the judicial canons, that's not going to do any good.
Well, yeah, I understand judicial canons, but
yeah, that's what he's talking about, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
like
just
I
like
said,
water
man.
Under the bridge, you know? If you're a pro se,
it
doesn't mean a damn thing.
Nope.
The behind closed doors, what's going to be said is, oh, we got some more bullshit from a whiny pro se. And there
mm-hmm.
it goes in the trash.
Yeah, of course.
It's the way it works.
And there isn't anything you can do. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Well, have you got any other questions for us? Because we've got
it.
Other people with hands up in the queue.
That's it.
All righty. Well, I'll be real interested to hear what your RICO attorney's got to say. Keep us informed,
yeah.
please.
I will.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Oh, man. Boy, that guy's got his hands full, doesn't he? Wow.
I'm telling you, he does. And not only that,
yeah.
he's got
yeah.
his hands full from a mental standpoint. An emotional standpoint, and to some
yeah.
degree, a spiritual, literally like a spiritual, like that, it hurts your soul when you think, holy crap, I can't believe that what I've been told and what I've been brought up believing is not, you know what I mean? It's just like,
yeah.
I mean, I know.
Oh,
it's,
believe me.
It's
the
bad,
wake
man.
Up call I've had in the last 8 years has been unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, so not good, man. Just not good, you know?
All right. Well, for everybody out there, we've got somebody I'm going to call on here in a second, but for other people that have got questions for us, hit the one key on the keypad in your phone, and right now we're going to go to 718. You've been unmuted. Go ahead.
Yes. Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. We can hear you. If you're on a speakerphone, would you please get off of it?
Okay. 1 second. Can you hear me now?
Yes, that's much better. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. I have a number of judgments that I allowed to basically go to judgment before even fighting it at any level. This was a few years ago. And so my question is now, is there anything I can do to...
Anything to do with John Gleeha by any chance?
No, not at all. I don't know who that is.
Okay, just curious. Yeah, he's one of the guys that used to say, let him get judgments. And then you go get your own judgment.
No, that was my own fault at the time. I was having some personal issues, and I just didn't have time to tend to it, and I had no assets really. So I figured that, you know, how badly could it be? But now I'm trying to sort of get out of the situation, and I see it's beginning to hinder me because I'm afraid to have any money in the bank, anything at all, because they can attach that, from what I understand.
Yeah.
Well, there's some
portion.
Well,
if you remember... You can go to our protecting your money section, and we show you how you can operate just fine with 100 judgments on you. It doesn't matter. And they can't touch anything. So, well, that's why our members pay. I'm not going to discuss it all here for free. So,
okay.
Fair to our members. So,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that goes beyond the traditional, I think, $1,700 or in New York where I am. I think it's $1,900 that is exempt from any judgment. So
you can do whatever. You can have $1 million the way we do it, and it wouldn't matter.
Okay. That is something very interesting. Now, does that extend in any way to stopping them from attaching or garnishing a wage, or no?
No, because garnishing wages, of course, you know, it depends on your state law. That's the only thing that does that. Does that make sense? So... Like in Florida, if you're the head of the household, they can't garnish your wages without you asking them or giving them permission. How ridiculous is that? So
how do I find out what the case is in New York?
You don't have the case. You just type in wage garnishment law in New York into Google, and Google will bring it up, and that's it. You'll have 100 topics on it, I promise you.
Okay. Aside from that technique to be able – is there any way to set these judgments aside or just to basically vacate them in any way?
Probably not by this point. I would have to think that it's a little late in the game, you know?
Okay.
Well, if you didn't argue them, if you were served and you didn't argue them at the time, you don't have a leg to stand on to even begin to go and
Well, one of them, actually, one of them vacated. I was not – well, here's the thing. I have four of them. One was not served to me. It was served to another unit in my building where I live, which the person lives with the same last name, and he actually signed for it, and he gave it to me afterwards. So it was not served directly to me. And the other one was not served at all. The other two were served properly. So, but it sounds like even if I were to set two aside, it doesn't matter. So my only way out of this is this just to do a bankruptcy? Is that it?
You can do that, too. You can do that, too. But how old are these judgments, and what kind of judgments are there? I think that's more important than anything.
Credit card judgments, all four.
All four credit card judgments, they're public records, and they will probably fall off.
Roughly how much money is involved, the total?
The total is about 20, 25, maybe between 25
not
and
30. Not a lot.
About 25
yeah, not
a lot. Between no, 25 and 30 total.
How long ago were these judgments obtained against you?
The earliest one was 2011, and the latest one, I believe, was 2014 or 13.
Okay. One thing you can do with these, I don't know what your situation is. This is an alternative. It's something to consider. You may be able to negotiate the fact that they're
some time back being able to negotiate a very small amount to pay them in full. As an example, I had a friend of mine last year that had, this is a personal friend of mine, that had a judgment for about $17,000, give or take. And he was able to satisfy that for, I believe it was about $3,100. And,
nice.
I mean, you know, he got that off the book and got everything all squared away. So, you know, negotiating these things, keep in mind, a judgment does nobody any good if they can't get any cash out of your pocket.
Here's the thing.
We're getting a bunch of talking in the background here.
Oh, sorry. I'm going to store. I kept trying to call in before, and I didn't figure out how it is to get to talk to you because I kept listening and listening. So I listened for quite a while, but I never got a chance to actually ask you until now. I'm going to get out of the story now. But my question is, even if I were to do that, how will – because my main objective is to get rid of the judgments. The main objective I have is to clean the credit report and not just to, like, have it go up by 60 points. I want it to go up to – say I at one point had a credit score of 800. How do I get back up to that point fast?
Well, fast? Well, pay all the judgments off if you want it fast. But obviously that's not what you want to do or more likely not capable of doing. If you want to improve your credit score, you have to figure out what you need to do to satisfy those situations. Whether it be through negotiating something, or then you need the other side of that is just say, well, I can't do anything with that, and I'm just going to operate outside of that, which is what the section on the website shows you how to do, protecting your money. It shows you how you can operate, like Jesse said, if you got 100 judgments against you. But you have to figure out which way you want to go. If you want to clean your credit report and keep that way, chances are you're going to probably have to spend a little money resolving some of those. Now,
okay.
I don't know if you're in a position to do that, but as the old saying goes, cash talks and BS walks.
Absolutely.
When you go to negotiate with somebody, if you've got a certain amount of cash, you can say, well, you know, okay, you got a judgment against me for $7,000, and I basically have nothing. I went down the tube. That's why I got the judgments. But I can probably borrow about $1,200 or $1,400 and pay you if we could get this resolved and get it taken care of. So that it gets out of my credit file. Because one of the things that you want to do, and I've done this before. I've done this multiple times with people. I did this with my ex-wife years ago. When I met her, her credit was bad, and she was on a deal with her credit card or with her husband on a credit card, and I negotiated a very low payment to pay off that debt with the bank, and part of the agreement was that they marked the credit file paid as agreed. So not only did she get a $4,000-and-some-dollar deal gone for $1,000, it turned a negative into a positive.
But when they do that, when they say pay as agreed on, this is actually something I was reading on. When they say that, that's only what they say, but something was reported prior to them because this has been sold multiple times. It doesn't clean out all the previous entries now.
No. Yes, it's going to clear out the one with them and anybody else that's got anything in there for that debt. You can dispute all that, and that's got to come out of there because they don't have anything. They don't own the debt. There's a process you have to go through. You know, Terry has got a series of webinars in the website that. Is amazingly detailed with all the information to go about working to clean up your credit, but you can't just make judgments go away. It'd be nice if you could, but that takes some work and will probably take some cash out of your pocket to do it, if that's the way you want to pursue it.
Okay. I have another question now. This is actually, I want to ask this on behalf of my wife. She would never even call in. she has a situation now where she just right now, she just missed the first payment because she had some people telling her at her job that based on the amount of money she makes, it doesn't make sense for her to continue to make these ginormous payments, which were like almost approaching 30% of her income. And so they said, well, you can always do bankruptcy. And even in that case, even if it's not completely wiped off, your payment is going to be at least four times, at most four times of what you're paying right now. But then I learned about what you guys are doing, and I thought that she's nowhere near my situation with judgment. She just missed, I think she's only like 40 days late
or
something like that.
Yeah, okay. Let me ask you, what type of account is this?
She has also a credit card account.
Okay, it's a credit
She has two or three of them. But again, the combined payments
she was making.
Well,
let's talk about the one she defaulted on, okay?
It's
the one that she missed a payment on?
Yes.
Okay. She. That's just on one account, correct?
No, it's three now. At this point, it's three. She didn't make a payment on three accounts already. But it's only 40 days each, like 35 to 40 days each.
Okay. Now, let me ask you approximately what are the balances that are owed on these?
One is 11,000. One is combined is 26 or 27, and she had somebody call her, which sounded like a very good deal, and they said that they could take 10,000 off, so she would only owe 17,000, and her payment will be $181 a month until it's all paid off. The only requirement was that she was not allowed to get any other cards or any other loans or anything until it's completely paid off, which I thought was an excellent deal. But then I heard about you guys. You're actually making money on this, so I don't understand how you can do that.
Well, there are companies that do debt renegotiation on things. There are companies out there that do that. Some of them are scams and some of them are legit. So you got to be careful if you enter into something like that. Sometimes what you end up doing is you have somebody that'll you run into a company like that. They'll say, "Oh well, you know, we can knock $10,000 off," but then they're going to charge you $8,000 to do it, so that
they make that money.
I'm not saying that's the case that you have. I'm saying
Absolutely. Sometimes
that is the case, and that's why you have to be careful.
I hear you. But is that something that we should consider, or is there any other thing we can do at this point? Because her credit is not as bad as mine. She was in the upper 600s, so it would be upsetting for that to go down, you know?
Well, it's going to go down. If she missed payments on three accounts, I can tell you her credit score is going to dive big time.
Even one payment. Like 30 days.
The fact that she missed three of them, just one payment. As soon as that's reported in there, the credit score is going to go boop.
So now what can
she? Well, if she can, here again, there's not necessarily a simple answer to that situation because we don't have all the details. And you need to find out what the alternatives are, and that information is in the website. You go in there, and you can study what you can do and then make a decision on the best course of action to follow. You know, there's things like strategic default. Now, of course, strategic default is when somebody decides they're not going to pay things, not necessarily is in a position where they can't. Now, obviously, she's already kind of gone over the edge with three of them, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the question is, do you want to try and get two of the three back online? Do you not want to do that? Do you want to let it go down the road and then deal with the consequences that come along with it and possibly make some money on debt collectors to try and collect on these as they're going forward? I mean, there's always the risk of lawsuits going forward. You know, you understand that.
Yes. Well, as I understand, this is unsecured debt, so she could just declare bankruptcy at any time and be done with it completely.
You can declare bankruptcy. Now, you know, that depends. If you do a Chapter 7, that's complete liquidation, which means that includes all her other assets, whether you got cars, a home, all that kind
Nothing.
Of stuff is all involved in
nothing.
That. Or a Chapter 13.
Right, well,
Chapter
13
is a repayment plan.
Right, well, she got no assets, so that's,
okay.
I guess that's a good thing. But one of the things she was worried about is down the road having to buy an apartment or a house or something like that.
Well,
so,
I mean, if you file bankruptcy, it's definitely going to affect your credit for a period of time. It's not like
10 years.
It ruins your credit for, well, it's going to be on your credit report for 10 years, but it's not as much of a black mark as it used to be 10, 20, 30 years ago because so many people have
yep.
done it because of the economics. You can
but
file bankruptcy, and generally you can start building credit within a year after that. I mean, one of the ways to start is with like a prepaid credit card and stuff like that.
When you noticed, when you mentioned earlier for my own situation to be able to sort of operate with judgments, that's not only to have a bank account. So there's a way. Does this extend to say buying a house as well, or buying an apartment also?
Sure.
So there is a way to. I'm not talking about buying for cash. When you have the I'm talking about a traditional 20% down payment or 10% down payment. You can do that, is what you're saying.
There's ways to do that. Yes.
Yeah. Yep. And listen, when you go talk to an attorney about bankruptcy, Chapter 7. You
can't hardly hear you, Jesse.
I says when you go talk to an attorney about your Chapter 7. You can't just simply say, I'm going to do a 7. The laws have changed on that. And the court can decide that, no, you're not getting a 7. We're going to put you in a 13, and you're going to repay. So don't think that that's guaranteed. You can thank President Bush for that one. But at the end of the day, that's the facts. That's the way it is.
Oh, yeah, but given what I told you based on myself, which avenue would you suggest to go?
I don't know, man. There's no suggestions. At the end of the day, it's your personal choice. If you're going to bankruptcy, screw everybody, be done with it. Okay, that's a choice you make to start over. You know, my mom and dad filed bankruptcy, I don't know, 20 years ago, and 2 days after they filed bankruptcy, they had a $5,000 credit card. You know, I mean, it's just...
With my wife's situation, as for going for the debt collectors, at this point it's too early to do that, right? Although they are calling her every day. They're calling her every day on her phone, every day.
No, you
well,
have
two
ways
out of
to
the
go after
three.
Them right this second. Yeah. No doubt about it.
But it's too early to do that at this point, to go after them?
No, it's never too early.
Okay, so basically I got to... My avenue is to sign up for the membership, from what I understand, and that's how I start.
That is really the best way, to be honest with you. Yeah.
Because what that does is that's going to give you access to information you can study so you can start making some informed decisions. You can't give us enough information here for us to be able to try and explain everything that we need to. We don't have time for that on the calls. That's why you got to get in there and study. And learn, and then when you have questions about what you've studied, come on these calls and say, okay, well, I was studying and I read about this or that, or I watched these webinars and they're saying this and this, and you have a question about that, then come on and we can help you fit those pieces together. That's really the purpose of these calls.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the advice.
You're welcome. All righty.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Well, here's somebody that they're trying to get ahead of things, which is good. All right, let's go to 973. You are unmuted for your questions.
Hello.
Good evening.
Hello.
How are you?
Good evening. I got two questions about a foreclosure. I did the Fannie Mae thing, and my mortgage grew up on Fannie Mae. Does that mean that they own a note or how does that go?
Now, what was the question again? I'm sorry, I'm not getting it.
I did the research on the mortgage. Fannie Mae owns my mortgage.
Okay. Okay.
So do that.
Fannie Mae owns no mortgages, by the way. If you take the time to read their own member agreement, they don't have any ownership at all in any mortgage. And they say so. I didn't say so. They're saying so. But anyway, go ahead. You still there?
Hello?
Yeah, are you still there? Go ahead.
Yeah. I put my information in the Fannie Mae tracking thing, and it says Fannie Mae owns my mortgage.
No.
Well, did you listen to what Jesse was just saying?
No, I apologize. You said that they don't own no mortgage.
They say so themselves in their member handbooks that's on our site. They actually say we don't own mortgages.
So, I'm lost now. I mean, I'm new to this, so I'm
I know.
Trying to understand.
That's the way they like to keep it, man. Yeah, that's the way they like to keep it.
So what should I do because it says they own my mortgage. Even
yep.
I got it. My lending, my service is Wells Fargo. So
yep.
I sent in the QWR. They sent me back a note saying not much. It just says Wells Fargo on it. Don't got nothing about. I never knew about Fannie Mae until I joined the site. So I'm trying to find out where do I go from here.
Well, have you gotten an audit done?
No.
Yeah, you might want to look into that. But are you a member?
Yes.
Okay. Then you need to watch the winning at foreclosure, what they don't want you to know. You have to watch that. Absolutely have to watch it.
I watched that. I watched the foreclosure bash. I went through all of it. And, I mean, I'm understanding some things, but I'm not understanding others. Like, I'm trying to understand if Fannie Mae owned the mortgage, who owns the note? So,
It, what they're saying is they own everything, okay? So, again, understanding that what they're owning is not anything. They collateralize the debts, okay? And then they create these bonds, and that's what they own, but they do not own the individual mortgage or note, okay? And that's really what it is. You got to understand the note. When they say they own the mortgage, it's really I don't even know how to describe the difference. When they collateralize the notes, that's what they do. That makes sense?
I'm trying because I'm dealing with Wells Fargo as I guess that's who I was making the payments to. But it says on my note that Wells Fargo was the lender.
Correct.
So the lender is the holder of the note, right?
No. The lender is the guy who gave you the original loan, generally.
Okay. So now,
okay, now I could be the holder of the note because I bought it from them, right? So you got it from Wells Fargo. They sold it to Jesse, and off you go. Make sense?
It makes sense. So where does Fannie Mae come in at?
Fannie Mae is they sold it to Fannie Mae for funding to Fannie Mae's investors.
Okay, so as of now.
So their investors buy a pool of it, right? And that's exactly what happens. They'll come in and say, okay, we're going to buy $100 million worth of mortgage and notes, securitize it, and off you go.
Okay, because I'm going through a foreclosure right now, and their lawyer filed something with the county stating that I'm going through foreclosure. So I'm trying to see what do I do next. Do I put in a suit, or what do I do?
Man, that's an impossible question for anybody on this call to answer till you learn, or we learn, all the details, which is not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. It's too much. Every case is so unique that it's almost impossible to decipher over one phone call. And that's fact. It's just too much to decipher.
Okay, so even with the information,
it's not enough information. There's too many details. So what has to happen is you literally have to go back, keep watching the webinars, keep watching them, and you learn them. You have to do that over and over until you start learning.
Where that just happened, how much time do I have to get, or should I get a lawyer, or should I just?
I would probably get an attorney to help you out.
So I should get
an attorney. It seems like you're a little overwhelmed. Yeah, it seems to me like you're a little overwhelmed. It's a big learning curve if you're trying to do it very fast, that's for sure.
Okay, so basically from right now, where should I start? Because I went through all the webinars, so should I go back to the foreclosure bash or should I go to winning at foreclosure?
Winning at foreclosure, man, that is the ticket. That really is for that.
Okay, so
that really is where you're going to learn.
And I still don't understand how to get the securitization papers. I still don't understand how to get that. What do I do to get that?
You have to submit copies of your mortgage and your note to our securitization auditor, Karen, through the What Lies in Your Mortgage link on the site.
And then she'll find
what she does. If she can find the actual securitization pool, then she'll tell you, we found it and here's all the details. If she cannot find it, she will tell you the same and you pay nothing. There's no charge for anything.
Okay, and one more question I had. Okay, in my 2WR, I asked for an audit of the whole, I guess, the payments from the inception of the loan to now, but they didn't send me from the inception. They sent me like 2 years after the inception, so till now.
Yeah, they sent you what they did. They didn't send you what the other servicer had before, which is a violation already.
My services started with Wells Fargo. I'm dealing with Wells Fargo, so why would they not send it from 2011?
That, then, I don't know. You have to ask them. I don't know.
So that's my point. Should I ask them or should I file suit?
You should ask them first, and then if they don't do what they're supposed to do, then you can get into the suit part. But be careful with the suit stuff because you still are kind of green to begin with. You need to get a lot more knowledge under your belt before you file suits. You don't want to file a suit and then be caught with your pants down.
Exactly.
Okay, so just like I said, just study some more, man. It takes a little time, so don't get disappointed and don't be hard on yourself. You just got to put in the time, that's all.
Okay.
All it is.
All right, thanks.
All right, buddy. Good luck with that, man, and just keep your confidence. You got to keep it.
All right.
You know?
I'm going to study up.
Okay. All right.
There you go.
And we always got the forum. You got the forum. So if you need me there for that, feel free to ask questions there too.
Okay.
All right, buddy.
Okay. We're going to go to 714. You have been unmuted for your question. Go ahead.
Hello, is that me?
I think it must be
you.
You're the only one that I unmuted.
Okay. Well, I got something else from Midland again, responding to my to my answer back to them from them saying that my dispute was valid, but they never sent me validation information. So now they say that they have received and processed my dispute, and after reviewing the information, our account notes and information provided, we have found that our information is correct. So they're asking me to provide a notice that the account was previously paid off, or a copy of a paid in full or settlement letter.
Okay. First of all, I suggest you respond to that. What was your dispute?
I didn't have a dispute. I sent them a validation letter, and then they sent me the response back saying that it had, my dispute was invalid, that it was correct.
Well, first of all, they can't determine that a demand for debt validation is an invalid dispute.
Right.
Okay? Because what you just got is, and there was no human involved, understand that. That was just a computer sending you an automatic, what they call, proof letter. Okay? There is no provision allowing them to shift that burden onto you.
Now, remember, Terry, she's not dealing with FCRA. This is FDCPA.
I know that, but there's no provision in the FDCPA either for the consumer to have to prove the validation. All right? They're trying to shift the burden of proof back on you.
Right. That's what I got from that.
Yeah. So you respond back and you say, this was not a dispute, and your demand for validation clearly states that. It doesn't say it's a refusal to pay or anything like that. It says it's a demand for validation. You simply state, I filed no dispute. I sent you a demand letter for validation. Please see attached and respond accordingly. Attach a copy.
Attach the letter that I sent 4 times now.
What's that?
I said, and attach the same letter I've attached 4 times now.
With the same BS 4 times?
Yes.
They're just begging to be sued, aren't they?
I did already file the complaint with the, was it the SCPB?
The CFPB?
Yes, I did file with them already, and they responded back to me that they had gotten the complaint.
Well, is that complaint with the CFPB, has that been resolved yet, or is that still ongoing?
No, it's still ongoing. They said they were contacting the company.
Oh, okay. Then okay. You know, they're on a roll. They're on this sue me, kick my butt roller coaster right now with you. So the best thing for you to do is what I just said. As long, you know what they say about the bad guy determined to hang himself. Why would you hold back the rope?
Right.
Give them all they want. They're insisting upon it. Give it to them. So response, and again, and do exactly what I said. Meanwhile, wait for the CFPB to conclude their complaint process with them. And then, and they don't get it then, no more response from you other than federal lawsuit.
Right. And what is the statute of limitations for?
It's 1 year on the FDCPA, but you need to get your federal lawsuit done.
Yeah, and let me ask you a question. Are they also putting that stuff in your credit report?
They were, but I don't know if it's still. I mean, yeah, but they were. They were putting it on my credit report.
Did you file a dispute with the credit reporting agency?
I had filed a dispute, and they said that they denied it. They denied my dispute.
They denied what?
They denied my dispute, as they said that it was valid.
Okay. Again, there was no humans involved. That was the computer.
No. Yeah.
Spit out an automatic verify. When was that?
Oh. That's been, I want to say, almost a year ago. This was before we contacted you guys and all of that.
Oh, okay. I would do another, I would check, really, at this point, while the CFPB is wrapping up, you know, completing their investigation on your complaint, I would get a hold of another copy of the credit report determine that it's still in there. And you said it's almost a year, right? I can't hear you.
Right. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. When is the year up?
The year for the other dispute or for this?
For the CRA dispute.
Oh, for the CRA. I'd have to check my paperwork.
Yeah, you said
from them.
It was like you said almost a year. I was just thinking, if that's coming up real soon, you could get your credit report for free again because your year would be up. But I would do a second dispute on that with the credit reporting agencies while this CFPB investigation is going on. And they're playing games with the demand for validation is going on. Because all of that is laying that solid foundation and gathering your evidence of their wrongdoing. Because then you have FCRA, S2B, failure to conduct a reasonable investigation. And you've got the FDCPA, have they sent you any Dunning letters through all this? Like, were they, or a settlement offer, or wanting money?
Have they? No. No, nobody's contacted me yet.
What they're wanting is you to prove a negative.
Right. That's what they want.
Okay, well, look at it this way. It's well established in the court. The furnishing data for a collector, furnishing data to a credit reporting agency is in itself a debt.
Yeah,
so,
they also included that in here, that little slip that says that.
They included
a little slip. Yeah, a little slip that just keeps saying that any information they obtain is to collect the debt.
No, that's not what I'm talking about.
Oh.
Okay. Listen to me carefully here. If you find that they didn't take that stuff out of your credit report, it's still there during this whole thing when you're demanding validation and they're playing games with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's well established in the court that just the act of reporting that negative information to the credit reporting agencies causing it to be in your file is an attempt to collect under the FDCPA. So you got them when they continued to report to the credit reporting agencies after they failed to validate when you demanded it. So then you have FDCPA and FCRA.
Okay. That's good to know. Wait, there was one time, I think, did you just ask me if they asked for money? Because they did try to offer me, like, some kind of settlement. One of the people, because I've been sending letters to, like...
My question was, did they ask for money after your first demand for validation?
Yes.
Well, you got them anyway, then.
Yes, they did.
Because they didn't validate, and they continued to try to collect.
Oh, that's good to know. Okay. So I will respond to this and script
my own. Robbie Robot just gets those guys in a whole lot of trouble.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, me and my husband were just talking about that. He's like, we need to get the phone records. We have calls all the time. Just about every day. And we've already put ourselves on the do not call list. It's been...
They don't care.
Yeah, they don't care. Even when they do
this
a lawsuit.
All I can say is keep good records of all the calls.
Yes, I have
been. Because on TCPA, there's a four-year statute of limitations.
Oh, okay. So, are screenshots of the phone call...
That's good, but handwrite notes of everything. Don't just rely on screenshots. Keep the screenshots, absolutely. But handwrite notes on December 7th at 2:45 p.m. received a call from 888-123-4567. Answered the phone, said hello, didn't hear anything, said hello again. Nobody was there, and I hung up, or they hung up on me, or whatever. In other words, make notes as to exactly what happened. If you have a conversation, make notes about it and everything. There's no such thing as too much evidence.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.
You guys have a good night.
You too. Thank you. All right. Let's go to 856. You have been unmuted. Go ahead. Hello, 856. Maybe 856 isn't paying any attention.
I'm sorry. Just walked in the kitchen.
Oh, man, and it's you.
And it's me. So I had to put my plate down. I was feeding my face, and I ran back in the other room. How's
Hi,
everyone?
Oh, we're still alive and kicking. At least I am, anyway. I heard Jesse's voice in there, and Terry's
thing.
Been talking. So
I just wanted to reach out to the caller that was from Exchange 973. I think that's New Jersey. And on the website, would you IM your contact information to member the Tiger Flies? And that was all I wanted.
Okay, just trying to connect with another member. There you go. It's good to do that.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you, Yvonne. That's all you had, huh?
That's it for me.
Okay, dear.
Yeah, there's a lot more to her than meets the eye.
Yeah, well, we all know that. Yeah, we all know that.
I paid Terry to say that.
I want my cut, too.
Gotta get my kudos wherever I can, you know?
Yeah, but I'm, raising my rates after the first of the year. So you got in on the ground floor there.
Yeah, there you go. All righty. Well, thank you, dear. See, we do have some fun on these calls, you guys. Now, I don't see anybody with a hand up that has a question for us. Now, the whole idea is we're here to answer your questions. So if you've been kind of sitting back with your elbow on the armchair and you got a question, hit the one key on the keypad in your phone, because if you don't, we're going to go ahead and wrap things up, and we'll get to doing some other things that, and believe me, we all have other things to do. But we're here to answer your questions if you got them, but if nobody pops up with them, then we'll say sayonara, and it looks like that's what we're going to do. Nobody's popping their hand up here, so I'll go ahead and do the call announcements.
Close it up,
David. We can wrap it up here a little bit early tonight. Tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock Eastern Time, as is usual on Wednesdays, we have a webinar, and it is open Q&A. Any subject is up to bat tomorrow, so if you got foreclosure or TCPA or FCRA, whatever you got, questions, there's time to discuss those. There's usually a little more time on that call to get into a little more detail than we can on some of these public calls. So if you've got questions, and you're a member, of course, that's for members only, 3 o'clock tomorrow. Then we slide past that and get to Terry's call tomorrow night. That starts at 8 o'clock Eastern Time. That's a support call, just like the Monday night call. And if you're not on Terry's email list, if you're new, write down queensongbird@gmail.com, because that's Terry's email address. And you want to get on her email list rather than just knowing the number to her call, because she sends out a lot of information when she sends out the call notes and the reminders and everything. So send an email to her and just say, please put me on the list. That's all you got to do.
And
again, that's
8
o'clock tomorrow night.
Because I already sent out the call reminders for this week tonight, and I do not check my email during my call. So So you need to get that to me tonight or early in the morning or you miss the boat.
Yeah. Jesse, quit making all the noise, would you?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I was muted. I'm grabbing a tea.
Mr. Multitasker there. I know who's making that kind of noise when we get that.
I'm thirsty, man. I'm thirsty.
yeah, there you go. Anyway, that's tomorrow. And then, of course, the rest of the week through the weekend, all the people that are members have access to the forum. It's a great place to not only post and get answers to your questions in the days that we don't have calls, but it's a great place to study because there's 21,000-plus postings in there anyway. It's a great place to learn specific to the area of interest you have because everything's broken down by subject. So if you're a member and you haven't gotten in there to study, that's another resource you've got. If you aren't a member, that's an extra resource on top of everything else that's in the website, and there's nothing else like it on the web. You can check it out for 60 days, no risk. You got a 60-day money-back guarantee on membership. So get in there, do it, learn. And then next Monday, we're going to start all over again with Dallas Death Discussion, Monday night. It's still on TalkShoe.com. The PIN is 54318, and that call starts at 9 o'clock Eastern. It is an hour later than the Monday and Tuesday, or the Tuesday and Wednesday calls. So there's lots of support out here. You got to do it, but we'll help you. And I think that's all I've got, Jesse. I'm going to leave you to wrap it up.
Yeah, I'm just curious. Did you mention who's doing the webinar tomorrow?
Yeah, it's open Q&A.
Is it open Q&A tomorrow?
Yes, it is, because you had foreclosure last week.
I sure did. I'll be damned. Okay, well, there we go. I didn't even hear. I must have been making the racket, getting my tea.
You were making a lot of racket. That's why I had to say something.
I apologize, guys. Anyway, God bless everybody. Have a great week. We'll see a lot of you tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Again, moderators, thank you. We cannot do it without you guys. Have a great night, and we'll talk tomorrow.
Good night.
All righty. Have a great evening, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.